I was joking on Facebook. I said, please pray for me. I'm considering singing tonight and going into music ministry instead of preaching. So now that they're here, I have to confess I told a fib. So, but it was good. It's good to be back with you tonight. You know, we had to go to Crabtree Mall today to pick up our glasses. We went to LensCrafter last week, and we said, well, we'll pick them up today. And I was telling Aaron and Martin that my oldest son, Chad, you know, when he found out we were going to LensCrafter and to get glasses and our eyes done, he said, Dad, when is the last time you've been out in public? And I'm like, what? I said, Chad, I'm out in public every day. What are you talking about? And he says, but you're going to go to Crabtree Mall? I said, yeah. He said, it's way different than Dryburg, Dad. And I said, what are you talking about? And man, I will tell you what. It's way different than Dryburg. It's also way different than Youngsville. I finally told Drew, I said, with all kidding aside, I said, we got to get back to the country where men shop in a men's section and women shop in a women's section, not vice versa. I said, because this is something that I'm not used to anymore. I've got to get out of here. So I tell you, we live in a time when the world, I mean, when it says in the last days, it'll be like Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'll tell you, I tell you. When David talked about Sodom and Gomorrah in Psalm 51, and he was saying what it was like, Sodom and Gomorrah had already been destroyed, right? And so never before any day is any day more than preaching the Word of God. And what I mean by that is each day we live, we get closer to Christ coming back or going to be with the Lord. And we have to stop being silent, and we have to preach the gospel. Amen? And I tell you, I could have did some street preaching in the mall today because it was just, society is rough, isn't it? We live in a bubble, and I live in Dryburg, and so it's kind of, you know, we have our issues, of course, but you go back out into the heart of the city, and wow, you see the need for the gospel, amen? All right, turn your Bibles to Jeremiah 17. We're going to open up in prayer, and Martin, could you open us and pray for me as well for me? I am encouraged, though, as a pastor. I've been doing ministry off and on for 14 years, and today at my church I had a gentleman named Rick Vi, his son Jared, preached, and I heard he did just a wonderful job. I know he would, good, faithful preacher. And I knew Martin's your pastor here, and another good, faithful preacher. So I am encouraged, right, that there are people, there are men still preaching the gospel. And what we're going to read today in Jeremiah, we're going to talk about two types of people, those that truly trust in the Lord and then those that follow the way of the world. And if you want to talk about revival, it's got to start in the church first, right? And I told you this morning, it's got to start in the house and it's got to start in the church. And we've got to be transformed. And the only way we're going to be transformed is by the Word of God. Amen. So read with me in Jeremiah 17, starting at verse 5. And the first verse, I love it because now you know you're not hearing from me at all, right? Because it says, thus says the Lord. Lord, all caps, is always significant for Yahweh, right? Thus says the Lord. Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert, and he will not see when prosperity comes. But he will live in a stony waste in a wilderness, a land without inhabitant. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in the year of a drought, nor cease to yield fruit. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can even understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. You may be seated. It's a very powerful thing when you start hearing Jeremiah say, thus says the Lord. Right? It's very powerful because the Word of God in itself is from the Holy Spirit. Yes, man had a part in writing it, but it's from the Holy Spirit. And when we read the Bible, we have to understand that it's God Almighty talking to us through the Holy Spirit. And it's Jesus Christ, and so we can take it, we can believe it, and we can live it, right? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. The problem is most Christians are just not living the Christian life today. And we have to ask ourselves, why is that? Why have we fallen for everything in the world? Why have we let so much of the world into the church? Why hasn't the church gone out into the world instead of the world coming into the church? And when you look at it, it's very easy. It says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind. So just stop there and think about it for a minute. In the church today and everything, and even in our lives, we get so consumed with the world. And we cry for a revival. We plant it on the counters. We do all this and we say, we want to see Jesus. And we want to see Jesus in the church. And we want the church to grow. We want our families to grow. And hey, you know what? We want to grow. And then as soon as we go out, we tend to trust in man. And it's easy to do that. But the point what Jeremiah is saying is he's not just saying you're trusting in other people. What he's really saying is you're trusting in mankind. You're trusting in your flesh. You're trusting in yourself. I don't know about you, but one of the greatest struggles I have is to step aside and get out of my own way so that I can listen to the voice of God. Because the voice of God never fails me, never lets me down, and never leaves me, never forsakes me, and yet I leave it all the time. And I ask myself the question, God's batting 100% all the time. Why do I run to self? How can I ever have revival in my heart? How can I ever change? How can I ever be used for the gospel if I can't get out of my own way? Now, the same thing for you. How about you? How much are you trusting in yourself right now? How much in your marriages? How much in your family, your jobs? I heard my brother talk about being a farmer, and I know he probably needed the rain. But I guarantee you, he didn't say, I'm going to wait, whatever he farms, I'm going to wait till it rains to plant. No, you plant and pray and have faith that it's going to rain. Christians need to pray and have faith that God is raining. And his word is raining, and it's not going to stop raining until he comes back. And it says, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind. And look, makes flesh his strength. And every time we make flesh our strength, we're committing idolatry. And the next part of the verse, it says, and turns away from the Lord. Folks, there's a lot of unintended consequences in the world. There's a lot of times when we know we should go to the Word of God first for decisions we have to make. But instead, we go to the world and we go to flesh and we go to human wisdom. And the Bible says our wisdom is foolishness to God. He will make wise. And just understand something for a moment. This is before Christ, but this is pointing to Christ. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. Do you know why he wept? Because the religious people of his day, the chosen people, the Jewish people, they would not turn. They would not follow God. They would not trust in God. And folks, what did he do? He left them out of captivity. Do you remember why Moses was up on the Ten Commandments and Aaron's down there making a golden calf through earrings and gold of people and said, he's gone. He's not here no more. Forget that God parted the Red Sea. He's not going to do it again. Forget that he sent manna from heaven. Forget that water came up from the ground in a rock. Forget all that. Forget that he came in a burning bush. He's just not moving anymore. But he is, folks. Just this morning, I received word as I was here preaching, and nothing do I love to see more than see people come to Christ. And I'm a very evangelical preacher when it means to. I just want to see souls saved. And I know I cannot save a single person. Though like Paul would say, if I could give up everything for my kinsmen of the flesh, I would. I don't know that I could go that far, but I would like to think I could. But I heard of a young man in our youth group last night. I get a phone call, and I'm really... We had a chicken shoot and gizzards. Chicken gizzard and shoot. We have a gun range at a church, believe it or not. You got plenty of room. If you want the diagram, we can give it to you. It's fine. And then we had trunk or treat, and it was really busy. And I'm sitting there like, man, I still got to study all these sermons. I got to preach. I got this revival that I take on more than I can take. And I said, why? Martin called me up and got me in the middle of all this stuff, and I'm busy, you know. And then the Lord just says, calm down. Calm down. In fact, one of my deacons said, that's what you're called to do. You remember that, Timmy? And I'm sitting there on the bench, and I'm really anxious right now, right? Honestly, I'm anxious. And I said, Timmy, I got to preach up. I got to get five sermons. I got to study five sermons. I got this. And Timmy said, well, you're called to do it. You know what I did? I shut up. And I just sat there for a minute and prayed, and I said, you know what, God, I am called by you. And your word never returns void. You will not leave me nor forsake me, and you will give me the messages to preach. I study your word of God, and all I have to do is preach the word, and Father, you will move. Because if I trust in me, I will fail. But if I trust in you, everything will succeed through the blood of Christ. Amen. And so sometimes we just got to get out of our way. And even in ministry, we got to say, hey, step aside and let God do his thing. That's the beautiful thing about being a pastor. You don't have to be a good speaker. You don't have to be a great preacher. You just have to be faithful to the text because it says it all. It's not going to change, folks. The word of God's not going to change. Not yesterday, not today, not tomorrow. It's not going to change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all we have to do is take it, believe it, and read it. Amen. And if we do, amazing things are going to happen in our life. So to go back to the story, I was sitting at my bedside and was praying, and I get a phone call, a text, and said, Dylan received the Lord tonight. And I said, praise God. And I just sat there, and I knew the Lord was working on his heart, because I sit on the front bench, and every time I'm singing my heart out, and I know I sound awful, okay? But Dylan, he's into it. He's into it, right? I'm like, yeah, man, the Lord's getting into this boy. And then I said, you know, sometimes if we just move aside and not trust in mankind and things and everything, God will save people. And so this morning I know that he went forward and made it public. And Jamie and Angela is here, and his grandparents are here. And they didn't even know I was going to be saying this. But what a joy it is that when we don't turn to ourselves, we see God save souls. And I am so happy God is still saving souls today, because listen, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like a bush in a desert. Look at 6. For he will be like a bush in a desert and will not see when prosperity comes. Folks, that prosperity is not money. That prosperity is salvation. I don't know if we understand this or not, but there's not enough money in the world that can buy salvation. There's not enough money in the world that can buy favor with God. There's only enough money in the world to take us places we don't want to go and keep us there longer than we want to be, right? There's a lot of things to do with money. Money is not inherently bad, but it is the root of all kinds of evil, right? For the love of it, right? So if we understand something, prosperity is not found in health, wealth, power, or anything else. It's found in salvation alone. I preached a funeral not long ago, and I think I really surprised everybody. Because I said, I am tired of preachers coming and preaching people into heaven that do not know the same Jesus I know. Amen. I don't want to see it anymore. I want them to know the truth. The most loving thing we can do is tell them the gospel. Because when they die, folks, it's too late. And to say they're in a better place when you don't know that to be true is terrible. And I was sitting and preaching this funeral of this man, and the people from my church know it well. And this boy trusted in mankind all his life. I got to know him a little bit. His name was Jacob Hazelwood. And young people, listen to me. He got to work. He was 22, 23. He was driving a van one day. He worked for the satellite company. He installed satellites. And I don't know if he was on his phone. I don't know if he was looking at GPS. I don't know. People say different things. But regardless, that morning when he woke up on a beautiful summer, spring morning, he hit a fertilizer truck head on. The diesel caught on fire. The only way he escaped was the fire burned his legs almost completely off and burned his body 90%, third degree burns, and luckily burned the seatbelt, or blessing, burned the seatbelt, and he crawled out of a fiery van.
when we got to the hospital that day, because his uncle Eugene called me. I went down there. They said very unlikely that he will make it. But we began to pray, and we prayed, and one day, and the Lord kept telling me, go to him, go to him, go to him. And one day I told Tammy, I'm going today. I told my church I went down there. And as soon as I got there, they said, come back another day. He's getting a bath. It's going to take us an hour and a half. I started to say, okay, trust in man, trust in mankind, go. Like the nurse says, go, and trust in me. Why wait an hour and a half? I don't have an hour and a half to see someone saved. I don't have an hour and a half to share the gospel. I got things to do. I got ministry to do. I got a bunch of old people to see in the nursing room. I got things to do. I can't wait. But God says, slow down and wait. So I stayed. An hour and a half goes by, I come back. And they said, sorry, he's got to get a procedure. It's going to be another hour and a half. But just come back another day and we'll let him know you came. And I said, no, ma'am, I will not make that mistake again. I'll be in the chapel. You come get me when he's ready. Because I have God has an appointment for that boy that day. So I walk in his room. About 3 hours later, I'd ask people like Carolyn Anderson, a lady at my church that I know, praise Tammy and some other people. And I sat there and opened up the gospel. And I told him, I said, Jacob, if you would have died in that fiery van, you would have woke up in a fiery hell. And folks, that's not easy to say. That's not easy to say. And I said, but let me tell you something. God spared you and God sent me to you to give you the word of God so that you might be saved if you so choose to call upon his name and he's calling you. So I sat there and went through the Bible, and he lifted up his hand, which he could barely lift it, and he says, I want to be saved. That day, folks, I was able by God's grace to lead Jacob to the Lord. He lived for 7 months. 7 months. And each time I went to see him, he would hold his hand up for me to pray with him. He would recite what I talked to him about. We would talk about the things of the Bible. He would talk about faith. His mother, such a saint. She would write things in the Bible, about scripture on Facebook and things like that. Just a woman of saint. And he was expected to make it. Everybody said, I was there with one of my deacons 1 week before, and they said, he's never done as good as he's doing. He's going to make it. He's going to make it. He's going to make it. A week later, he died. Young people, you don't know if you're going to make it. But this man received the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I preached his funeral, that's what I said. I'm tired of people saying people are going to heaven when they're going to hell. We've got to make sure. Paul says, make your calling sure. Make it sure. Why would we want to live this life? Why would we want to trust in mankind? Why do we want to be a bush in a desert? Why do we want to live in a stony waste? Why do we want to live this life without God and yet come to church? Go out and rob a bank or do something. But don't fake it to make it. We've got to sit here and look at what the Bible says, that God is coming back. You have a choice. Do you want to be like this man in the Bible, this man that decided to live like a bush in a desert? And I don't know about you, but the only bush I normally see in a desert is a tumbleweed. It doesn't know where it's coming and it doesn't know where it's going, but its end is always death. But he will live in a stony wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. And you know the truth of this is, and it goes back to Jeremiah 21. He's talking about all the deceitfulness of Israel, their deceitful hearts, their desire for wealth and everything else is what it's talking about. But I just on a paraphrase of it, it says a land of salt without inhabitant. You know what? More Christians need to understand we're to be the salt of the earth, the light of the earth and the salt of the earth. And in fact, Jesus says, who in the world would light a lamp and put a basket over top so nobody would see it? Who in the world would take salt and throw it down and trample it under feet by men so that it's worthless? Where is the church? We've got to make sure that we are the light of the world, that we are the salt of the world, so that people like Jacob Hazelwood have a chance to hear the gospel and be saved. What if he never heard the word? But our God is faithful, and he's faithful for you tonight, and he's faithful for your church. You have houses upon houses upon houses, inhabitants all around you. What are you doing to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Don't let them be a stony waste. Don't let them live in a wilderness. Don't let them be a bush. But take them and introduce them to the burning bush of God himself by the word of God. I pray that you will go out and have revival and that you will start something amazing in this church. You got plenty of seats to fill. And if not, you can stand, you can sit on the floor, but preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's how revival starts. You want to see true revival? Start sharing Christ. Amen. Find those bushes. Find the stony waste and go to them. But before you do, make sure that you're like this next person. Make sure in this church right now where you're sitting, you can honestly say that though you struggle with sin, you're walking the repentant life. Though you struggle in different areas, you're striving to be more like Christ. That you're going to your pastor and saying, hey, how can I serve? Because all of us have gifts. We have to serve. That's what the church is all about. How are you serving? Because here's the next part. Listen to this. First God says cursed, but now he says blessed. And folks, that is true. Because at judgment day, you are either blessed or cursed. There is no negativity. Neutrality is not an option. You don't get a second choice. You're either blessed or cursed. And he says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. I don't know about you folks, but I've placed all my trust in Jesus Christ because I've seen how wicked and evil when I put my own plans in place. I see how much I mess things up when I do things on my own strength, and that includes in ministry. But I so much want to be people to say, Ken is a man that trusts in the Lord, and his trust is the Lord. And folks, I'll submit to you, I'm not 100% there yet, but I'm forgetting what lies behind, and I'm reaching forward to what lies ahead, the goal of the upward prize in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I hope you are too. So he will be like a tree planted. This is a part of Psalm 1 too. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots in a stream. And it's burning, it's everything, but its roots are so deep that when the heat comes, it doesn't fail, right? And he says, and when the fear, and he will not fear when the heat comes because its leaves will be green and he will not be anxious in the year of a drought. Why? Because he has the faith of God flowing through his veins with everything. He believes in God. Even when he has to suffer, he suffers rightly. See, sometimes we don't think we should suffer. But folks, if Christians don't suffer, how are they going to see Christ? Christ suffered. Amen. He hung on that cross. And I told you this morning, God took pleasure in crushing his sins for the iniquity of all of us. How does that happen? Who does that? Can you even fathom what Jesus did? Philippians says he didn't equate equality a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant in the appearance of man, became like man, and became obedient to the point of death, and even death on a cross. You don't have to die on a cross. You just have to pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow the man that did. Amen. Are you willing to follow this Jesus that we believe in, so that they can say, blessed is this woman, blessed is this man, blessed is this child, because Jesus Christ is their Lord. But the heart is deceitful. Look at 9 with me. Folks, I'm going to be honest with you. This is one of the scariest verses next to Matthew 7 and all the Bible for me. Because I don't know about you, but I'm pretty good at deceiving myself. I'm pretty good at convincing myself that I'm better than I am. I'm pretty good at convincing myself that I'm walking more spiritually than I am. I'm really good at deceiving myself. And I also have the devil out deceiving me and the world deceiving me. And deception is all around. In fact, Paul warned us in Galatians, right? Be careful. Don't think yourself better of something than you are, lest you be deceived. Whoever thinks he's something when he's nothing deceives only himself. You're a stony waste. Don't deceive yourself. But look to God and look to the gospel and don't be deceived. He said the heart is desperately wicked. Who can understand it? And folks, sometimes I don't even understand my own heart. Do you? When we make the wicked decisions, but I'm telling you what, we are stronger in numbers as a church. When we come together in Christ, it is not meant to be on our own. We're not meant to be isolated. I tell my church all the time, those people say, you don't have to go to church to be saved. But I'll tell you what, brother, if you don't go to church, you probably aren't saved. Okay, because I'm telling you now, if you do not understand the importance of community, if you do not understand the importance of praying together, serving together, living together, breaking bread together, loving together, preaching together, praying together, you don't understand this Jesus Christ I'm preaching about. You've got to understand. that God's desire for you is to use you to show you who, what Christ did in you to a lost and dying world. It is not to have a mansion on a hill. It is, you're going to get that in heaven. It's not to have nice things. You're going to get crowns in heaven. It's not to be the man on earth. You're going to have everything that God wants you to have in heaven to be able to worship him, not yourself. And I'm telling you, folks, I don't know when he's coming back. But I just pray when he comes back, he finds me as a blessed man that trusts him. As a man that's placed all his faith in him. As a man that says, I'm going to stand on the Bible. And when I fall, I'm going to confess it. I'm going to repent. And I'm going to show the lost world the difference between me and a fake is that I'm honest about my sin. I'm honest about my struggle. And I'm honest about my need for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ every day. So that all they can simply say is, he believed in his God. He believed in this Jesus that he preached. And in verse 10 he says, I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his own ways, according to the results of his deeds. I tell you, I truly pray that I learn how to bear one another's burdens more. Because the Lord is searching my heart. And in Psalms it says, David is crying out. He said, Lord, search my heart. And if there's any wicked way in me, take it away from me and lead me to the everlasting way. I pray that all the time. Because I see how fallen I am. We call this revival this week, right? We call this, I believe when we talked on the phone, Martin, you said, hey, we're a church that likes a good old-fashioned revival. There's nothing old-fashioned about revival. It's a new, it's a fresh every day. Every Sunday should be a revival. Every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Because Jesus Christ did not stay in the grave. He arose. Therefore, revival should happen every day. And if we don't have revival happening every day, folks, we're not seeing Jesus. And I confess in my own heart that sometimes I'm a stony waste, but praise God he doesn't keep me there. And praise God that he lets me know I can trust him, I can depend on him, and that he will never leave me nor forsake me, and that he's always there for me. And so sometimes, folks, God's got to really search my heart. And he's got to find ways in me that need a whole lot of help. Because I'm a broken vessel. But I'm so thankful that God took this sorry piece of lump of clay and he molded it into his image, in the image of salvation. And he says, Ken, I know your deeds, I know your salvation, but I'm still going to save you. I'm still going to save you. Because when I died, and back up, when I decided to leave the Father in heaven, and when I decided to say, Father, if it pleases you, I'm going to go. And I'm going to go to earth for the people that you created in your image. If this is your will, Father, I'm going to do it. And I know Ken Warfield hasn't been born yet. But I know his thoughts already. I know his wickedness that he thinks in his mind. I know his evil deeds that he does from a child to his end of his life. I know Ken, Father. And I'm going to die for Ken. Because Ken can't die for himself. And the only way, Father, the only forgiveness of sin is through the remission of blood. Father, I'm going to be the blood. And I'm going to go to earth. And I'm going to take the shame and despise it for the joy set before me. I'm going to endure the cross for Ken. Because he can't save himself, even though he thinks he can. Even though he thinks he's good, Father. Even though he thinks that he can actually do some good things and get in good favor with God. Even though Ken thinks that, hey, if he does this and gives a little bit here, gives this and does this, does that, he could be saved. But Father, he's deceived. So I'm going to go for Ken, Father. I'm going to go for him. And I'm going to show him the love I have by hanging on a cross, by dying, by being whipped, by the shame set before me and the joy set before me. I'm going to go to Ken. I'm going to save his soul. And I'm going to open my arms. I'm going to say, for all those that come to me, I'm not going to turn them away. But I'm going to accept them. Because I love them. And I died for them. And I want their trust to be in me. Do you have this trust? Young people, do you really know this Jesus? Because video games ain't going to get you there. High school things aren't going to get you there. Only Jesus speaking to you will get you there. And you don't know if you're going to get old. Take it from me. Someone who lived a wretched life all of their life while they were young and until they were 30 before I got saved. My biggest regret is not sitting where you're sitting and learning everything I could about Jesus Christ so that I could trust him more. I pray that God will enter your hearts today. And I pray for the rest of you. I ask you, if you don't truly know this Jesus, would you know him today? Mark.